conclude that that exhortation we started last Sunday. Let's conclude it today. Revelation chapter 12. Can we stand up for a text? I assure you, it will be very few minutes, because I'm concluding what we already started, and that's why I've been taking all my time since. Revelation chapter 12. Can we stand up for a text? Am I correct? Chapter 12, yes. I'm waiting for them to stand up. I read, some people are still sitting. Are they on wheelchairs? Tell your neighbor now. We are honoring the word. When you stand up and your neighbor is sitting down, be one another's keepers. Tell him, say, maybe he's not hearing English. You tell him the language. Say, pastor, say, today. Revelation chapter 12, and I'm reading verses 10 and verse 11. And that scripture says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. May be seated. And we are continuing the message with title, Why Accused? And I want you to note that the accusation is day and night. That is 24 hours, Satan is accusing the children of God day and night, accusing them before the throne of God. What is he accusing us of? We said it last Sunday. If you have the property of the devil, Satan will accuse you. You are holding his property, you have left his kingdom, then drop his property. You say you don't belong to him, then why are you still keeping his property? And last week, we listed some of the property, and you know better what those properties are. But the emphasis for today is how they overcame the devil. How they overcame the accuser of the brethren. How they overcame is how we too we are overcoming now. The accusation is daily, day and night. Therefore, we too, we must also overcome day and night. And we're looking at the overcoming power. What is it that makes us to overcome? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love this. 1 John. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are we there? 1 John chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. Even our faith. And the next verse says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And I always like to explain this, some of these verses that we just read anyhow. We don't take time to get the meaning of those simple verses like that. When he says, who is he? He says, and this is our victory. He he that is born of God overcometh the world, and this is our victory, even our faith. What does he mean there? And I've explained this several times to this church. The faith that is referred to here, the word faith in the Bible means two things depending on the usage. Faith that means confidence. I have faith in God. It means I have confidence in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the Bible in Mark chapter 11 verse 23, it says, have faith in God. It says, for verily I say unto you, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you will not doubt, but believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. And when you start praying, believe. Now that is the faith. Faith there is having confidence in God, in his power, in his word, that he will keep his word, that he will watch over his word to perform it. That is faith, depending on the usage. Then there is faith again when Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. They say, the just shall live by faith. And another scriptures, Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. These two faith, two scriptures mentioning faith here, is not confidence. Because in the same Hebrew 11, he said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith. The faith that is referring to here is revelation. The church shall live by revelation. By revelation, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So when he says, he that is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Here he's talking of our revelation. It's the revelation you have that makes you to live a life that this world cannot hold you. Revelation is important. And he says that this is the one that over the next verse there in the first John where we read. He says, who is he that overcometh the world? Verse 5. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, anytime you hear the Bible referring to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, he's not saying, he does not refer to Jesus as a Son of God. But he makes it, he qualifies it with that adjective, the. It means he is a point of reference for something. He is the Son of God. And when you say he is the Son of God, it means you are making reference to something he is fulfilling. The one that is expected. The Lamb of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He, Jesus, is that Son. He is the Son of God. And anytime the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of God, you are pointing back to Calvary, the sacrificial lamb. You are referring to that man that God offered for the salvation of mankind. I want you to take note of it. Where we read Revelation chapter 12, it says, and they overcame the accuser of the brethren, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. And people think that the meaning of that verse is, anytime you see Satan coming, you will shout, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. That is not the meaning. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is not in a pool somewhere. Where when you say, blood of Jesus, then the thing will pour, wah, on Satan. And by the word of their testimony. Therefore, so listen, church, especially ministers, so that we can flow, because there are some things I straighten out here, and when you are not listening to me, you are busy seeing vision, you will come after I am not at the altar and then be saying things that will be contrary to what I have spoken. That's why I say listen, because I have had a minister stand in this church and made reference to this scripture and say they overcame by the word of their testimony. Therefore, come and give your testimony. That is not the meaning of that statement. If God saves you from any situation and you come and stand and give testimony, it will never stop the accuser of the brethren. It will never stop him from accusing you. That is not the meaning of that statement. If I can get you to understand these two statements, then we can close this service now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the blood of the Lamb? What you are really looking at is, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It means you are looking at the effect of the blood of Jesus Christ. The effect of the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame the accuser of the brethren, because what is he accusing us of? What is accusing us of? The blood of Jesus that has taken care of it. That is the meaning. The blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of what Satan is accusing me of. I've committed abortions before. That was before. I have murdered. I have killed. That was before. I was a prostitute. That was before. I was a liar. I was an idol worshiper. That was before. That was before I came in contact with the power of the blood of Jesus. How did the blood of Jesus Christ take care of this? The blood of Jesus Christ remitted my sins. I was sitting down in my sitting room this morning and I heard clearly. The Lord spoke to me in very, very clear. He said, the first chapter of the Bible. He said, he just said it like that. He said, the first chapter in the Bible is, the first verse in the Bible is Acts 2:38. Read it. I jumped from my seat. He said, the first verse in the Bible for every sinner, the first verse you must know in the Bible. He said the first verse of the Bible to a sinner is Acts 2:38. Every of us, read it. Shall we go? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that what is written in your own Bible? The first verse for a sinner in the whole Bible is not Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. The first for a sinner is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is what the blood of Jesus Christ has done. Once you repent and you enter that water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, Apostle Peter, who had the keys into the kingdom. That verse is the key to the kingdom. That is the verse that opened for all of us to enter the kingdom. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is for the remission of all the sins that the accuser of the brethren is accusing you of. Every sin the accuser of the brethren is accusing you of, the blood of Jesus Christ has washed it away, has remitted it away. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The first victory is come under the saving grace of the blood of Jesus Christ. See how important water baptism is after you have repented. And if there be anybody here who has not been baptized, today is Sunday, we shouldn't be talking this here, because members are supposed to be here. This is not an evangelistic program. But in case there's anybody here, because some people come here and they stay for months and they are still holding on to some other means. Baptism, you must do it correctly. Correctly. One of the things that the accuser of the brethren is accusing believers today is wrong baptism. Wrong doctrine. Wrong baptism. If you baptize wrongly and you are standing to say, in Jesus' name, abide, Satan will stand and say, you don't enter, you don't enter. What happened is not under the blood. If you baptize wrongly, you can never be under the blood. You can never be under the blood. Therefore, you have no, lawyers call it local standard. You have no basis. You have no basis to stand and challenge him and say he should get out of your way. He will stand and accuse you. Is there anybody here that is not yet under the blood? Is there anybody here, you have been made to believe that your sins have been remitted when you have only gone to swim or whatever it is you did with that water? Infant baptism is wrong. Sprinkling of water is wrong. Correct water baptism is not just by immersion. If they put you inside water and bring you out and they don't call that name of Jesus, it is wrong baptism, because the commandment is to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name. And then the just shall live by faith. You see? Revelation. And by revelation, we know that the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, one name, that is the name for redemption. By revelation, the bride knows it is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see why we are special. You see why the devil is afraid of this end time message. You see? Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up. That is revelation. That is revelation. Our eyes that were closed before. We are living a struggling Christian life. A life that makes it look as if Satan is stronger than God. A life that makes it look as if witches and wizards are stronger than the Holy Ghost. And you make your mouth and say, greater is he that is in you, when there is nothing that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. Meanwhile, there is nothing in you. And Satan knows it. Oh, Satan knows who we are. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The overcoming power, number one, is to come under the blood of the Lamb. To identify with the blood of Jesus Christ. To identify with what he did. To be a partaker of the benefits of Calvary. That blood that was shed, one, it remitted your sins because he died the death that every sinner is supposed to die. That's why the Bible says that the enemy is Satan, the devil, coming up to steal, kill, and destroy. But he, Jesus Christ, came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on what happened on the cross on Calvary and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 says so. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Hebrew chapter 12 tells us so. The blood of sprinkling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That blood remits our sins, but there is also a life in the blood. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrew chapter 10, Apostle Paul says that the blood, it is impossible for the blood of bulls, I think verse 4, for the blood of goats to affect the conscience or to take away the conscience of sin. It's impossible. Therefore, every year they continue to bring a sacrificial lamb to the high priest to confess the sins for last year. And they will confess their sins. They deserve to die, but according to the law, the animal will die instead of them. And because that animal was God's provision to keep his children still alive, that blood of that animal then atones for their sins. But Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 10 says that, but that blood there did not affect the conscience of that sinner. So he leaves and goes back. The power to stop committing sin is not there. So he has to repeat that sacrifice again the next year. So he did it every year. But that lamb, hallelujah, was speaking of the coming of the better sacrifice. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ came to fulfill. John 1:29. John saw him and told and shouted, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the difference between the blood of Jesus and the blood of that lamb, I've explained it several times in this church, is that there is a life in the blood. Leviticus 17 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The thing that is keeping you to be alive now is in your blood. You lose that blood, you lose your life. There is a life in the blood. But the same life also that is in the blood of that goat. There's a life too in the blood of that goat. But there is a difference between the life in the blood of Jesus and the life that is in the blood of that animal. And even the life that is in our own blood. Our own blood, the life that is supposed to be in our own blood, has been corrupted and is dead. But there's a life in the blood of Jesus that made him worthy to be offered as a sacrifice for us. The blood of Jesus Christ, the life that is in his blood, is eternal life. The life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is not ordinary life, it is eternal life. The Bible says eternal life was in him. That is why he's the only giver of eternal life. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the Lord, when he was hanging on the cross on Calvary, and that last statement he made before he gave up the ghost, he shouted, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. Which ghost did he give up? Which ghost did he give up? The Holy Ghost. Remember, he was the only human being that had the fullness of God dwelling in him. No other human being could receive the Holy Ghost. That's why he told them they should go and tarry until they receive the promise of the Father. Unless he's taken up, until he goes up, the Comforter cannot come, because the Comforter was in him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was dwelling in him, because Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Chapter 2 verse 9, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." The fullness of God dwell in him. John chapter 3 says, "He," Jesus, "received not the Spirit by measure." You and I receive the Holy Ghost in a measure, but the fullness was in him. That's why he was Emmanuel. He was Emmanuel. God with us. He was God with us. The fullness was in him. Hallelujah. The Bible describes Jesus Christ as a veil. Like that veil in the Holy of Holies that covered the glory of God. The body of Jesus Christ was the veil that covered the glory of God that dwelt in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you tear that veil in the temple, you will see the glory of God there. And they didn't know what that he was typing. When that Roman soldier took that spear, he was tearing a veil that covered the glory of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And therefore, when he was pierced by the side there, the temple of God was torn and the Holy Ghost was released. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost was released 50 days after, on the day of Pentecost. He came and found 120 in the upper room. From that day, God now came down, because through his Son, the blood of his Son that was released, he released the life that was in the blood. He released eternal life. Eternal life is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why it is only Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, like, he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And that's why the Holy Ghost is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8 verse 9 says, "If you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of his." I mean, if you have not the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, because they are partakers of what happened on the cross on Calvary. He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," the life that was released. It is then you can say, "I am under the blood." We are a day. They are all the leaves of God. On the cross of Calvary. Oh, yes, that's God. Revelated, anytime you are confronted with a situation that goes contrary to the word of God for you, a redeemed child of God, and you stand and you say, I plead the blood of Jesus against this situation, you now understand what you mean. When you are telling that situation is, I am under the blood of Jesus because I have repented, I have been baptized, my sins have been remitted, and he now dwells in me. And Satan will not argue that because he knows it. He sees it. At that moment, anything you say should happen to that witch, that wizard, after you have told him who you are. Anything you say will come to pass. That's why Satan is afraid of revelated Christians. Satan is not afraid of anointing. Satan is not afraid of anointing. Satan is afraid of anybody who knows who he is, who she is in Christ. There's a power there. There's a power there. There's power in knowledge. Knowledge is good. Knowledge, that's why illiteracy is not good. Illiteracy is not good. That's why lawyers call themselves learned colleagues, that they are learned. When you are speaking to a lawyer, you have to choose your language, because if you talk to him anyhow, he can use your language and make money with you. He will sue you and prove to you that you infringe on his rights. If you smoke near a lawyer and he wants to make money with you, he can make money with you. He will tell you, go and bring doctor's report and say, because of that your smoke, it affected his lungs, and he had to spend ₦1,000,000 for treatment. Why? Because you smoked and inhaled your smoke. You have a right to smoke, but your right ends where his nose begins. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it is in the spirit. When a Christian knows who he is, that's why the Bible says he, God, has not given us over to a spirit of fear. Oh! He has given a spirit of boldness and of a sound boldness. Because you know who you are. That is what they overcome the accuser of the brethren with. Go under the blood of Jesus, because the third thing it does is that it brings you under a covenant. God established a covenant with his children on earth, and he sealed that covenant with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you all know that the highest covenant that exists is a covenant, is a blood covenant. Anytime you have a blood covenant, you don't play with, everybody knows you don't break that covenant anyhow. Something will happen. God of creation established a covenant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In John chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 12 or so. He said, for as many as received him. He said he came to his own. The Jews. His own, the Jews, received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be what? To be sons of God. And so many things that now you have given your life to Christ. People who don't have revelation of Bible. I've given my life to Christ. You believe? You believe? Yes. Go. Now you are born again. You see, now you have the power to become the son of God. It's not like that. That is why I say, the Bible, the letter, kill it. Academicians are behind the pulpit preaching. Preaching, the work of a preacher, is not intellectualism. This Bible, there is something hidden behind every letter there. This Bible is a treasure, and no treasure is left in the surface. You have to dig to meet the treasure. You have to dig to the depth of revelation to catch the meaning. To them gave him power to become the sons of God. What is the power to become a son of God? It's the power that can make a sinner born to a saint. That is the power to become a daughter of God, a son of God. The power that will turn a sinner to a saint. The thing that disconnected us from God was sin. The power that can bring you back to be a child of God, a son of God, that power is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As many as receive him, to them he baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the power of transformation. It transforms you and takes away the stubborn nature in you and brings you to a position of righteousness. And he does it by his Spirit coming to dwell inside of you and causing you to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the meaning of grace. That is why the next statement comes in, and by the word of their testimony. What testimony? The testimony is, the life that I now live is not longer I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me. That is the testimony. The testimony, by the word of their testimony, blessed assurance, Jesus is man. Oh, what a fullness of glory divine. That's the testimony. Oh, purchase of God. Oh, born of his spirit. That's the testimony. That's the testimony. Oh, this is my glory. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. He said, if a man be in Christ, he's a new, all these are. So what will he accuse you of? What will he accuse you of? Brother, what will he accuse you of? But the problem is, are you in Christ? How do you come to Christ? By one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. Are we baptized into the body? You don't join the body. You are born into the body by the Spirit of God. The testimony you leave behind is not testimony of how you became a millionaire from nothing to something. That is not the testimony. We thank God for that kind of testimony, but that is not the meaning of that verse. The testimony is the life that you live. The life that you live. That means there is a life you live, even though you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you have baptized water baptism, and you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But if you still live a wicked life, the life of sinners, the accuser of the brethren is still there to accuse you. In Zechariah chapter 3, we have the story of the high priest Joshua. If you read it from verse 1 down, Zechariah chapter 3, he says, Zechariah, a high priest ordained by God himself of the tribe of Levi, a high priest from the tribe of Aaron, So he's supposed to be the most holy man in Israel. Because he stands in the gap between the congregation and the altar of sacrifice. High priest. And an angel came to meet him, and a demon stood by his side. Satan stood by the side of a high priest. The angel saw that demon standing. How can a demon be walking side by side with a high priest? Amen. Anytime you look at me, whether it's in your dream, brother, sister, or as you stand there so, at the pass, vision break forth, at the waka, you see one demon, the waka, they follow me, there is a reason. There is a reason. Pastor has done something that is attracting a demon to follow him. It happens. How can I stand here and preach the way I preach and still live in fornication? How can a minister be a fornicator? It's an abomination. How can a preacher, the Bible says, what do you call it? Bitter water and sweet water cannot come out of the same fountain. How can I stand here? The Holy Ghost told me that every service I should bless his people. How can I come and bless people with a mouth that lies? Or a mouth that will go and kiss a strange woman? Praise the Lord. Or a mouth that gossips, that slanders. Or a mouth that drinks alcohol. Go and sit down for beer parlor and drink beer. And come and handle microphone. My God is a good God. My God is a good God. I shall do it like that. A demon is following. Yes, he's a good God. Yes, he's a good God. And the man, the angel, not a minister, angel from above, was casting out that spirit from the high priest Joshua. The spirit stood there, refused to go. How many Joshuas are sitting down here today? Why is your situation not changing? You have gone everywhere, from mountain to crusade to prophets, from dry fasting, and you've done everything. In fact, as you are coming out from that prophet, the demon will say, you don't come. Where would they go, Joe? If the fire is too much here, the demon will say, I'm waiting for you at home. And you are wondering, what is happening? Joshua, an angel of God, came casting out that spirit. The demon refused to go. But the angel, the Joshua live by faith, by revelation. He didn't tell Joshua, Joshua, go and start dry fasting. Joshua, go to the mountain. He stopped the deliverance and took a look at Joshua. It was then he discovered that Joshua was wearing a tattered garment. A high priest was wearing a tattered garment. Tattered garment. Praise the Lord. But I thank God for Joshua. Joshua did not give any excuse when it was found out. The worst thing that can happen to you, brother, sister, is if your weakness is exposed and you try to cover it up. That is the difference between serpent seeds and the seed of God. That's the difference between Cain and Abel. That's the difference between Peter and Judas. And I've seen it. You are caught in fornication. Instead of you to repent, you will say, it's the devil that is after my ministry. They are trying to pull me down. Who is pulling you down? You are fornicating. You are saying they are trying to pull you. Who is pulling you down? They hate me. They want to pull me down. It's Satan. It's Satan. Does not want my ministry to stand. As a gifted brother. As a gifted sister. It's Satan. It's Satan. As if they are ganging up. They are ganging up against him. Praise the Lord. Why are they not ganging up against another person? Are you the most handsome brother? I mean, now you get money, pass the rest. Or now you get anointing, pass everybody for church. Why are they not against other sisters? Now you find, pass the rest. Praise the Lord. Anytime your sin is exposed, give up. Just surrender. That's what God is looking at. The high priest Joshua, the angels saw that he was wearing a tattered garment. He left that demon and concentrated on Joshua. Church, it is time. Sometimes we should forget about my mother-in-law. Forget about my landlord, my uncle, my brother who hates me. Forget about mommy water, papi water, because the Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies. The Bible says, if you break the edge, what will happen? Serpent will bite you. Every Christian has an edge all around you. Satan can't come near. Leave your in-law alone, your uncle alone, the witch, the wizard alone, the occultic man alone. Face yourself for a while. And the angel concentrated on the high priest. The first thing he did was he said, he ordered that his garment should be changed. The garment was changed. We didn't hear about that demon again. As soon as the garment changed, the demon knew what was coming. We didn't hear about that demon again. It was then the prophecy was released to Joshua. By the word of their testimony, by the life that they live, and the final part of that statement, praise the Lord, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They loved not their lives, because you cannot only be talking about the word of testimony and by the blood of the Lamb and forget the third part of that verse. They loved not their lives unto the death. Why? Let's read this scripture. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I read verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. They love not their life. That means they were ready to lose their life, even including dying for standing for truth. That is when you can overcome the accuser of the brethren. Your faith in Christ must come to a level, a stage, where what you believe, you are ready to stand and die for it. That means whether there is food to eat or not, because of the stand you take, you will not change your stand. Whether there is job or not, you will not change your stand. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether they threaten you with whatever thing they use. And the reason why we show testimonies like the testimony of Sister Eukaria and the testimonies of people like Brother Chibwese is to let it be a testimony that we stand against somebody here who thinks that the days of Job, they are gone. We are now in grace. In grace, there are people that God has used as a standard to use to judge every one of us. In the police, there are born again police officers. In the customs, there are born again custom officers. In the military, bankers, wherever they are, in every endeavor, there are born again Christians that God raised up to judge others that are in that area. In this church, God has raised testimonies here to judge anybody here who thinks he have to compromise some things so that you can survive. He said, they love not their lives unto the death. That is how they overcome the enemy. Luke chapter 21, there is a statement that I used to wonder what it means until now. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Amen. There's a statement here from verse 16. See what it says. Luke 21 verse 16. Concerning what was ahead coming to the disciples. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. So I used to read this and I say, how can they kill me? How can they finish me? And if you read the story of the matter, some people were burnt to death. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, he said verse 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. He said, not one hair of your head will perish. But they were burnt with fire and sticks. Didn't their hair burn? It burnt. It burnt. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It burnt now. It burnt. That is why it was because of it. That statement made clear chapter 9 of Luke, where we read, where he says, hallelujah, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, what happened? We have another one. We have another one. A heavenly one. Another better one is waiting there. And please, my own body that is waiting for me does not have bald head. It will be original, beautiful Moses. I will not be using eyeglasses there. Oh, yes. That's what it means. If you are able to lose your life, be ready to live a life of self-denial. For the kingdom's sake, whatever you lose here, you are going to gain it there. You will not lose one hair. You will gain it. That's what it means. You will gain it in the life to come. But how many people have that revelation? But if you decided to keep your palm hair here, you will lose everything plus the palm one plus everything in hellfire. You will lose it. You see what I mean now? They overcame by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, we understand Romans chapter 8. I close on that. Romans chapter 8. What shall separate me from the love of God? Chapter 30, verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us? You see people who are revelated? You see people who are revelated? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Who? What? Let me read it from verse 31. I think we understand it better. Because it incorporates the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not ourselves unto the death. From verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. That's the reason why Christians don't fear. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Accuser of the brethren. Listen, Satan. It is God that justifieth. We see that condemneth. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Don't accuse me of anything. The blood is still speaking for me at the mercy seat. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? What is it in your life that can separate you from the love of Christ? And he mentioned them. Shall tribulation, troubles of life, or distress, or persecution, or famine, hunger, or nakedness, lack of cloth to wear, because that is the reason, because of cloth to wear, some sisters are still staying with their boyfriend that has not married them. So that because there's no accommodation in Lagos, I'm just managing with him. And I hear they give me money, they buy cloth. The cream where they, the man they give me. Me, I'm just waiting for God to bless me so that I will move out of his house. Ha! That blessing will never come home because the accuser of the brethren will stand there to stop the blessing. If you want that blessing to come, check out of that house. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he is certain, he is sure, that neither death nor life, this is the word of their testimony. This is the word of their testimony. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. When he said, neither death, nor life, I hope you understand the meaning. I hope you understand the meaning. Life here, there are people that once they have business breakthrough, they forget God. Sometimes when Satan wants to take you away from God, he will bless you abundantly and give you business connections. You'll be so busy, the money is flowing in, you won't have time for God again. That is why Apostle Paul is saying it. Neither death nor life. And so many people here, they're just waiting. Maybe they enter. Church will become secondary. Time to pray, secondary. No life. No angels. What does he mean by angels? Angels here, he's talking about any other voice that will speak anything to you that will make you leave the world. Any spirit that will come and speak to you to turn you away from God. And there are several ways of doing it. And you can see some spiritual sister come and meet you, sister, you fast too much. And this thing is grace now. You fast too much. It's a demon talking to you. What's your business? Am I complaining? Who sent you come? Say, they fast too much. I tell you, say, they fast too much. If it's too much for me, not me go feel him. Now you don't feel him. It's a demon. That's an agent sent to weaken your faith. They are the enemies of revival. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, every day you are in the church. Every day in the church. What's your problem? What do you concern you? You are going for evangelism. Have you heard the statement say, oh boy, now only you kill Jesus? It's grace. Brother, it's grace. You are doing this your own too much. What is your problem? Leave me alone. Peter came like that to talk to Jesus. Jesus was telling Peter what he must go through as part of his calling. And Peter said, lie, 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 you no go die, you no go anywhere. Lie. What did Jesus tell him? Get thee behind me, Satan. How to fulfill my calling? You love me more than my Father in heaven. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. What did he say? He addressed the spirit that is pushing Peter to talk to him. Praise the Lord. No angels, no principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come. Have you not seen any time, he said principalities and powers, when you kneel down to pray, that is when some strange things will be happening to you to scare you from praying. You want to move, that is when things will be scattering up and down to make you think that your Christianity is in vain. No, whether it is good or it is bad, whether it is raining or it is sunshine, whatever situation, that is what is mentioned in here. He said, no things present, no things to come. He's telling the devil, plus the one where I never know, plus the one that you are planning to bring ahead. He said, no height, no depth, no any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Now you know, when you say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Now you know how they overcame by the word of their testimony. Don't let the accuser of the brethren accuse you of nothing. The only way to do it is every day take a self-examination of your life. Correct and remove every stain in your garment of righteousness. Don't be distracted. Be focused in your spiritual life. The time is too close to play with our eternal destination. Don't let the devil accuse you of anything. Return every property of the devil. Live a life guided by the scriptures. Live a life that our Heavenly Father will be proud to stand and fight your battle for you. May God give you that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Hope for the jobless.